Our scripture this morning is from Matthew chapter 5. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to God." These are our sacred stories. Thanks be to God.
This is the first Sunday of our stewardship campaign. We hope that you received your pledge card in the mail. It looks like this. If you haven't gotten it, please let us know so that we can send you one. I also hope that you've watched the video prepared by Christy Kyle. Christy is our treasurer and also the chair of the stewardship committee. She's given so much time, energy, and excellence to our church, and we are grateful. If you have your pledge card or if you've watched the video, then you know that our stewardship theme is lighting the way forward. The Stewardship Committee works hard every year, and this year is no exception. Only this year, we did all of our work through Zoom and emails. These days are different. These days are often difficult. These days are confusing. And not just in a "I don't know what day it is," because all the days are the same kind of way, although that's certainly part of my reality. There is much that obscures the path, making it hard to know where to turn or what to do next. The death toll from COVID continues to rise. Many are faced with financial insecurity, and an alarming number of people are now financially desperate, with no solutions being offered from our government. Many of us watch in horror as neighbors seem to make no effort to keep themselves or others safe from this deadly virus. The path can become hard to see. Anxiety, depression, despair close in on us, and it's hard to discern how we might move forward. I spent the night in a cave in East Tennessee during my college years. I'd been in other caves, both on official tours and unofficial ones, but I'd never spent the night. Here's what I'm going to say. There's dark in the night, and then there's dark in a cave. No light. None. Nothing visible at all. Your eyes are open, but you cannot see. I didn't like it. Efforts have been made by me and others to move away from dark equals bad and light equals good. I didn't like the total darkness of the cave, but that doesn't mean that I dislike all dark things, or that there's never something positive about being in the dark, even a darkness that obscures all sight. When we equate darkness with bad and light with good, we're creating a racist dichotomy where dark is always bad and light is always good. We're also insulting those with visual impairments. In litanies, I tend to trade dark for night, for example. or shadow, to make it clear that it's not darkness that's to be feared or rejected. Darkness can be a tremendous gift. Dark skin is beautiful. Adrienne Marie Brown, Black author and activist, says this better than I can in her poem. This poem is called Solstice Love Letter to Darkness. Darkness, everyone lies about you, painting your face on tragedy. In the folds of the dark, I find room for my dreams. I learn to swallow light. I forget to be separate. I listen to my life. I steal away home. I learn the tongue of skins. I fall in love with the neighbor child wailing in the not yet morning. In the infinite dark, I feel ancient again. A kiss full of hibernation, a wilderness brushing back against my fingers, a fistful of bravado, a fertile world within. Darkness, in this pale time, we need all of the complexity you call breath. Darkness is a gift. And night. Night can be long and hard and cold and weary. To me, lighting the way forward is about the promise of dawn, the predictability of the sun spreading warmth across the land, even after the most difficult of nights. I imagine this is what Jesus means when he says, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to God." Who is Jesus calling the light of the world? These words about light come after the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes begin the Sermon on the Mount. Today's scripture reading begins this way. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. So Jesus goes up the mountain in the company of his disciples and the crowds. Jesus is not alone. He gathers an inclusive crowd, and then he begins to speak. He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account." Jesus calls those gathered around him blessed. Not blessed in the way we tend to think of blessed. No, these folks are blessed in the night, blessed in the hunger and in the grief. And Jesus then calls them the light of the world and entrusts the work to them, to us. The work of building the realm of God's love. It's ours now. We are the blessed ones. The ones hungering and thirsting for righteousness and a famine of ethics. We are the peacemakers. Peacemaking doesn't keep the peace by never disturbing the status quo. It makes the peace by speaking truth, by standing for justice. We are the mourners, and how much we have mourned in these days. We are the merciful. We must live into our blessed identities by lighting the way forward. Leonard Cohen, God rest his soul, wrote, "Ring the bells that still can ring, Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Jesus' first audience certainly knew a lot about cracks, a lot about suffering and an oppressive empire. They knew about feelings of desperation. I'm not suggesting that God causes the cracks or the pain so that we can learn from them or for any other reason. I am suggesting that the desolation can open our eyes if we will let it. Sometimes the light reveals an ugliness, a cancer, an abuse. When this kind of light comes, I pray the revelations will open us to the work of justice rather than closing us in fear and overwhelm. These days have been full of this kind of light. Many in our country are aware of their own and our country's systemic racism in ways they have not been before. Others are seeing misogyny brought into light through insults hurled only at the candidate who is a woman of color. Others are newly aware of the plight of the poor in our country. They're seeing poverty often hidden, suddenly amid their own financial fears. Some are seeing the instability of rights and protections that might be stripped away by the changing Supreme Court. Rights and protections that affect you and me and your loved ones and members of our church. Some are seeing the hard truth that racist, misogynist white men with guns who believe in their own supremacy have been encouraged to shatter safe spaces like voting locations with threats of violence. Sometimes what the light reveals is gruesome. Sometimes it's hard to look at it. Sometimes it's overwhelming. But together as Covenant Church, we're not just trying to light the way. Not just trying to see the violence and injustice that surrounds us. No, we're trying to light the way forward. Yes, we need to see what is happening, and seeing is not the end of the work. Seeing is the beginning. Once we see, we get to work. We can forget having a perfect offering. None of us is perfect. And we all have much to offer. So much to contribute. We are all vital to this experiment we call Covenant Church. We may not understand how our gifts help. We don't always know the destination when we begin the journey. Our light might only show us the next step forward. We may never see the whole path. And we see our companions. I see you and you see me. I see you working in the garden, continuing to grow produce that feeds hungry bellies in our city. Working in the color garden, a gift to each one of us and to our neighbors, a gift of beauty and peace. I see you handing out voter registration cards, a mask hiding your smile, but it's there in your eyes. I see you giving your money to our church, to make our work here viable and lasting. I see you on Zoom, sharing your time and energy to check in with each other. I see you living into a life none of us could have imagined, a life of virtual school for some, virtual teaching for others, virtual family reunions, virtual worship, virtual donations, virtual gatherings. I see you creating and sustaining the Blue Tiger Project to help with the doldrums. I see you cooking with your grandkids on Zoom. I see you recording your voice, singing in your home to be joined with other Covenant voices to make beautiful music. I see you working to be anti-racist, joining in conversations and book clubs and contributing to our growing resources. We are lighting the way forward. We're doing it in new ways. We're finding the next right steps, and we're doing it together. At the time of Wendell Berry's novel, Hannah Coulter, Hannah is nearly 80 and is looking back through the memories of her life. She remembers strongly a time toward the end of World War II when her husband, Virgil, was missing in action. At the time, Hannah was living with her husband's parents on their farm. As days and months become years, the full meaning of missing in action begins to sink in, and they grieve and love and work the farm together. Hannah remembers, "I began to know my story then. Like everybody's, it was the story of living in the absence of the dead. What is the thread that holds it all together? Grief, I thought for a while. And grief is there, sure enough, just about all the way through. From the time I was a girl, I have never been far from it. But grief is not a force and has no power to hold. You only bear it. Love is what carries you, for it is always there, even in the dark, or most in the dark, but shining out at times like gold stitches in a piece of embroidery. All through the bad time, when Virgil's absence was wearing into us, when missing kept renaming itself more and more insistently as dead and lost forever, I was yet grateful. Sometimes I was grateful because I knew I ought to be, sometimes because I wanted to be, and sometimes a sweet thankfulness came to me on its own, like a singing from somewhere out in the night. And so I have to say another of the golden threads is gratitude. I was grateful because I knew, even in my fear and grief, that my life had been filled with gifts. What is the thread that holds it all together? Love is what carries you, for it's always there, even in the night, or most in the night, shining out at times like gold stitches in a piece of embroidery. And I have to say another of the golden threads is gratitude. These words are so powerful to me. I am grateful for you. Grateful for each one of you. Our community does not charge membership dues. You will not be taxed to worship with us. There is no obligation to give. There is opportunity. Opportunity to share what we have and who we are with each other. Our gifts support social justice projects. They give opportunities for children and youth. They provide for staff and for ministers. They maintain our buildings and enable us to share our buildings with the community. Our gifts make possible all the work of our church. Our budget and our pledges create a shared purse. And that shared purse is part of our shared faith and our shared vision and our shared life. We give to one another in this particular common life called Covenant Church because we believe our sharing lights the path forward. Our sharing moves all of us toward justice and peace. Our sharing is part of living into the love of God. You are the light of the world. You. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket. No. You put it on a lampstand, and then the light gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine so that we may see. Our light, the light of love, is in each of us. Our light will illuminate the next step. It might be the spark that shows a painful truth that must be seen for change to happen. and it might be the dawning hope that keeps us moving forward, keeps us making a way when all seems desolate. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Could it also be how the light gets out? We are the light of the world, the light of liberation shining on oppression, the light of home shining on exile, the light of justice shining on abuse, the light of peace shining on violence, the light of truth shining on deception, the light the world so needs. Together, sharing our money and our gifts, together sharing who we are, together we are lighting the way forward.